Effective Living with Reverend Henry Hubert. May you be blessed as you listen. Now, the message. Lord, you made
the marriage union and its impact on generational blessing. Our key text is in Matthew chapter 19, reading from verse 3, and we're going to continue from there today. You see, the Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Amen. So there was an important question that the Pharisees came to ask Jesus. The question is it lawful for anyone to just get up anytime they like and for any reason divorce his spouse or divorce his wife? In fact, they use the word wife because in those days it was the men that were very good at leaving their wives anytime they like. And the question suggested that people were treating marriage like any other relationship. You know, I can get up today and decide that somebody I call my friend is no more my friend. I have the freedom to do that. I have the right to do that. Every other relationship that you find yourself in, you can decide anytime whether you have good reasons or not to just do away with it. And the question was suggesting, can you treat marriage just like every other relationship? And Jesus took his time to explain something because the question suggested that the people who were asking these questions do not have any understanding about marriage at all. And so Jesus did not answer yes or no. He took his time to explain some very, very, very important truths about marriage, which is what I believe God wants us to learn. So Jesus said to them that from the beginning, God made them male and female. From the beginning. That means to understand marriage very well, you have to look at how God started it all over. So in verse 4, Jesus said, answered them, have you not read? That means you need to read. That is why the Bible is very important. But Jesus, have you not read that he who made them at the beginning, he made them male and female. And after making the couple, God said something. He said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So Jesus was saying that the difference between other relationships and marriage is that marriage is about two people coming together to become one flesh. Marriage is about two people becoming united and becoming one. Now, when two people become one, it is difficult to separate them. And that is what I believe God wants everybody who is married or planning to marry to work towards. Two people becoming one. Now, when two people becoming one means that the individuality of the two will disappear and a completely new personality will manifest. And that new personality cannot be traced to the individual personality of either the male or the female. He said, for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Jesus said, if you understand this, you will not treat marriage like any other relationship. And I think that the big challenge about the marriage institution is that there is a lot of misunderstanding about what marriage is. The first thing is that many people do not know why God even established the marriage institution. Last year, I taught for the whole month on God's purpose for marriage. And beyond understanding God's purpose for marriage, you must also understand what God established marriage to be. And this is what Jesus was teaching. In verse 6, he went on to say, so then they are no longer two people. Jesus says that in the mind of God, when two people get married, they are no longer two individuals, but they have become a united couple. They have become one flesh. And that's a very powerful statement, because I don't know how easy it is for Christians who are married today to be able to say, we are no longer two individuals living in this home, but we are one. And that's a tough challenge when you think about it, that how many Christians or how many couples here can say that we are married and we are no longer two individuals, but we are one. But that is why this teaching is coming to us, so that we will understand, all of us who are married and those who are yet to marry, that we have a lot of work to do. God's ultimate intent is that every one of us, under the sound of my voice, will be able to come to that place of saying what Jesus, what the scripture is saying, that they are no longer two, but one flesh. Then it didn't end there. He said, therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. That means God can join people, and then that union can be separated. This scripture is telling us that marriages can be separated. Marriages can be broken. I used to think that it's the devil that breaks marriages, until I saw this scripture all over again. And Jesus didn't say, let no devil separate. Jesus didn't say, therefore, what God has joined together, let no demons separate. If your marriage didn't work well, I want to say to you that it's not the devil. It's human beings that make marriages work or not work. I also need to think that, well, if it's not the devil, then it may be enemies or people far away, probably in-laws or bad friends or somebody. It just has to be somebody. Until I understood that marriages break because of people. And the people who make marriages break are the couple themselves. No two people that marry and commit to the marriage and decide they are going to make this marriage work. No two people that come together and said, we are going to live as husband and wife through thick and thin, no matter the challenge, no matter the difficulty, no matter the storm, we're going to work at this. No two people come together with such commitment can have their marriage broken by either the devil or by in-laws or by anybody else. If marriages do well, the couple have done a lot of work. If marriages don't do well, it's the couple. Whatever the devil does in marriage was allowed by the couple. Whatever in-laws do, whatever friends do, whatever anybody does to any marriage was allowed by people. So it all comes down to us. For those of us who are single, even from the time you're making the choice of who you want to marry, the work begins from there. The work begins right from the decision you make to marry. For those of you who are married, the work continues with how you live your life every day. So it comes back to an important thing. This scripture that Jesus quoted was a statement that was actually made by God himself. And we'll find it in Genesis 2, verse 24. This was God's pronouncement over the first marriage on earth. Maybe if you read verse 23, you will understand it better. It says that, and Adam said, when Adam saw the woman God created and brought to him, this is what he said. He said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. You know, the first marriage union, this is what happened. I don't know why the lady didn't say anything. Only the man said everything. God was looking, and Adam looked at the woman and said, yes, this is bone of my bone, flesh of my flesh. In other words, this is just someone just like me in another form. And then God now came and said, okay, Adam, I can see you like this. So this is what I also have to say. In verse 24, God said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be what? Joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. God said, at marriage, a man and his wife, they become joined. To be joined means they become unite. They come together. Then verse 25 says something powerful. He said, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. They were both naked. Now, when you read this at first glance, the immediate thing you think about was that they were having sex. You know, but this scripture goes beyond sex. It's talking about trust. Nakedness means openness. To be naked means that you are transparent, you are open, you are honest, no secrets. Nakedness means that you are able to open up yourself to someone because you trust the person that all the secrets about you, the person can have it, and you will still be safe. Because there are people, when they have your secret, you are not safe. That's one part of your Momo account. It's a secret, isn't it? Because if we all know it now, you are not safe. Your money is not safe. The PIN number to your ATM card is a secret. Many secrets. We all have secrets. But this is marriage. He said the two were naked and not ashamed. That means secrets that are even derogatory. Secrets that are shameful. Things that you don't want anybody to hear. Your spouse should be able to hear it and not use it against you. Because there are some marriages, there is nothing bad going on that is not in town. It's all in town. Because the spouse will carry it and spread it around. So you see, in such a marriage, there is a trust, serious trust issue. So this brings us to an important reflection that God established marriage to be a union that is established on trust. Everybody say trust. Everybody say trust. All right. Last Sunday, I said two things, and I'm going to go back to it and build my case on it. The first thing I said last Sunday is that it is God who joins the couple together. Because Jesus said what? What God has joined together, let no man separate. So it is God who joins two people together. Does it mean God forces two people to marry? No. God doesn't force two people to marry. God has given you the freedom to choose whom you want because he wants you to be responsible and accountable to yourself. If God forced two of you to marry, you blame God for every problem in your marriage. You will not even work at your marriage. And that is what happened in the first marriage. When Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate the fruit that God said they should not eat, when God came and said, Adam, why did you eat? He said, the woman you gave me. You know, and since then, God has stopped giving women to men. He said, the woman you gave me, I was doing fine when I was alone. But do you know it's a lie? Adam wasn't doing fine when he was alone. He was lonely. He was lonely. And most couples, that's what they do. People marry and immediately they forgot how they used to be single. How he used to lament. How he used to cry alone. How he used to fast and say, Lord, remember me. Lord, as for this year, don't pass me by. Do something. Move. Lord, if you just help me to get married this year, I will be so grateful to you. I will not even ask you anything again for the rest of my life. Oh, we've all prayed prayers. We've all prayed all manner of prayers. Many married people here forgot how happy you were the day your spouse proposed to you. That's for the ladies. You forgot how excited you were. You know, but you pretended like you were not happy. You kept a very straight face until the guy left and you were alone. And he said, yes, finally. Oh, Lord, I thank you. And the man, the day the lady came and said, okay, I've prayed. And, you know, some ladies, they don't even pray. They already like what they want. The ladies know what they want. The day a guy proposed, the lady already knows whether he's going to say yes or no. All they say, I'll go and pray about it. I'll think about it. It's just diplomacy. Because if the lady say yes immediately, you, the guy too, you will think that you are so good that the guy didn't even think about it. So the lady has also said, I'll go and think about it. And I tell ladies, pretend like you don't even like the whole thing. Just pretend like, I'll think about it. I'll pray about it. But there is no man here who will tell you that the day the lady came and said yes to your proposal, oh my God. There's no man who can say he wasn't excited. Especially if ladies have said no to you before. It's a very terrible, traumatic experience. It attacks your ego so bad. It makes you feel useless and hopeless and horrible. I know what I'm talking about. I've been there before. I've been there twice. They bounced me. But all the horrible times of loneliness. Now people get married and they begin to behave like their marriage is now the most unfortunate experience of their lives. People look at their spouse and talk like this spouse is the biggest mistake, biggest burden. That's what Adam did. Adam said, the woman you gave me, he made me to eat. In other words, I was doing fine. But the truth is, marriage has challenges. So is being single also have challenges? If you are married, you have challenges sometimes. But what about if you are single? Who said if you are single, you don't have any challenge? I mean, if you are single, you have more challenges. I mean, I prefer to be married. Because even God himself said, it is not good for the man to be alone. Yeah. So God will not choose a married partner for you. God will give you wisdom and intelligence to make your choice. And I spoke last Sunday about how to make your choice. But it also doesn't mean you should not pray and seek the face of God. After all that I said last Sunday, I said agreement. And I'll be coming back to that in course of my teaching. You find somebody that you like. You find somebody with a good character, godly person, God-fearing, spirit-filled person, somebody who respects you, somebody who fits into your lifetime goals and purpose, everything. You still have to pray. Say, God, I think this is the right person. Am I right or wrong? Because sometimes you can be wrong. You can be terribly wrong. And I'll explain why. But for now, when I say God joins people together, what I mean is that after you have chosen the person you want and you come before God, God will say, well, this is the person you have chosen, and he joins you together. That is why two people must not just meet and say we are married. There's a process that God respects. The first one is honor to the parents. That is why there is customary marriage. Customary marriage is not necessarily about a dowry. I have taught here before. I mean, probably Christians can come to a place and not take any dowry. Because there are many countries where marriage is done without a dowry. I mean, what does that dowry really do? How much is it? Those monies in envelope and the suitcase, what is it? Yeah, but let's leave that. Let's not go into that to raise arguments that won't end today. But customary marriage is about honor to the parents. That I met this lady somewhere, but she's coming from a home. And I need to go to that home and honor the parents and let them know I love this lady and I want her for a wife. And of course, you cannot go there alone. Your parents must go with you. Because every good man who sees a man coming alone to marry his wife can tell this man is trouble. He's trouble. If you are going to marry, your parents can't go with you. That means you have failed before you started. It means that you don't deserve to be married. So parental blessing is recognized by God. Then the spiritual blessing at the altar of God. God joins the couple together and they become one. But on one condition, which I gave last Sunday, agreement. Everybody say agreement. Amos 3 verse 3 says that two cannot work together except they are agreed. Two cannot work together except they are agreed. Matthew 12 verse 25 says that any city or house divided against itself cannot stand. So what causes marriage unions to have challenge is disagreements. When there is no agreement, the thing is not going to work. God joins two people together into a union if there is agreement. But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to dissolution. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. That is what Jesus said. It will not stand. So there has to be agreement. But what agreement does is that it builds trust. And I want to stay with this till we close. Agreement builds what? Trust. Now, trust is a very, very powerful word. It's difficult to trust people. And it takes time to trust people. Is it true? Because you can only trust people you know well. You can only trust people you understand. So trust is not something that happens overnight. Trust is not something that happens by accident. Trust is something that is made to happen by a deliberate effort of two people to be faithful to one another. So when God said, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh, verse 25 says that, and the two were naked and were not ashamed. He was bringing the issue of trust as a very critical factor for a successful marriage. A marriage cannot come to the place of unity, of becoming one, when there is no trust. When two people agree, they can trust each other. That's what I'm trying to say. When two people don't agree, they cannot trust each other. God's plan for your marriage is for you to come to the place where your spouse is the most trusted person in
your life.
I'll say that again. God established marriage so that for the rest of your life, your spouse will be the most trusted person in your life. So the question I want to ask you is, how trustworthy are you? It is not enough to demand trust from your spouse. It is necessary that you yourself, you make the effort to be trustworthy. Trust must develop in a marriage to the point where there will be no secrets. And if there are secrets in your marriage, it is telling you you still have work to do. It doesn't mean your marriage is bad, but it's telling you that you still have work to do. You have not yet arrived at where God is taking you. If there are still secrets, it is a pointer that trust hasn't built. Now, the reason why trust is very important is because it is the basis for which God blesses married people. Trust is the basis. The day you come before God and you make vows before God, the Bible says that you have come into covenant and God has become your witness. The reason why marriage is different from all other relationships is because God sees marriage as a covenant relationship. Everybody say covenant. What is a covenant? A covenant is a sacred agreement between two people that is established by vows in the presence of a deity, which can never be broken. So in the olden days when the knowledge of God was not there, covenants were made at shrines. Anytime two kingdoms are making an alliance to become one, they go to a shrine, they go to a deity, and they make vows. They cut each other, and their blood come out, and they make vows to a deity. Because the purpose of covenant is to invoke the judgment of a spirit as the judge over the relationship, that if one person breaks the terms of the covenant, he must suffer judgment. So our scripture in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 12, becomes very relevant. Let's read Ecclesiastes 4:12. We read this last Sunday, so you understand it by now. One person standing alone can easily be overpowered. That's what this scripture means. That's why marriage is better than being single. Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Threefold cord. Marriage is about God, the husband, and wife. So God is a witness in the marriage. Let's read Proverbs chapter 2, verse 16 to 17. It said, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words. Powerful scripture. This is for the men. Who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Leave verse 17 on the screen. Everybody look at it. The Bible says there are people who forsake the companion of their youth, and they forget the covenant that they enter into. And that is a trust challenge. Now, let's go to Malachi 2. Malachi 2, verse 13. And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. The Bible said that the prophet was talking about the children of God, that they were having issues. They could pray and even cry at the altar, and God wasn't hearing them. And this is a serious thing that I want to bring our attention to, that if you don't live a trustworthy life in your marriage, you will miss God's blessings in a lot of ways. Even their offerings and their sacrifices, God overlooked it. Verse 14, yet you say, for what reason? Why is God not paying attention to our prayers and responding to our cry? Because the Lord has been witness. Yeah, I want to say that God is the witness in every marriage. That means if you are married, I want to know that you are first accountable to God before even your spouse. First accountable to God. And if that becomes your thinking, you treat your wife different from the way you are doing in your marriage. And your spouse is accountable to, so there's nothing like cheating. Oh, I'm faithful to my spouse is not faithful to me, so me too. From now onwards, I'll do what I like, you know, because you are not aware of the presence of a third person who is the judge. You know, in this country now, there are laws that even if you catch somebody red-handed stealing your property, you cannot beat him yourself, punish him yourself, or kill him. You cannot do that, can you? No. What are you supposed to do? Hand him over to the law, to the judge. Why? Because there is a presence of a higher authority. That's marriage. You can't retaliate your spouse. You don't retaliate your spouse. He's wrong. Yes, she's wrong. But there is a witness. There is a judge. The Lord has been witness between you and the wife of Yahu, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet, she is your companion and your wife by covenant. Bible says that the day you stand before face to face before your spouse and you recited all those nice vows, you entered a covenant and you brought God in to judge. I love you with all my heart. Spend the rest of my life with you. I honor you above all women. My home shall be your home. My wife shall be your wealth. Are you sure about that? My God shall be your God. I'll be faithful to you. Blah, 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 blah. So, Pastor, hurry up and let's close and go. No, that's a covenant. He said, God has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. What is the meaning of treachery? Treachery means betrayal of trust. Anytime somebody begins to betray the trust of a marriage, God becomes angry. Verse 15. But did he not make them one? God made them what? One. He joined the two to become one. He joined the two to become what? Having a remnant of the spirit. And why did he join them one? He seeks godly offspring. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. And you know this scripture, I've said several times, anytime you're reading this, you should understand, he's not only talking to men, he's talking to the women too. Because not only men are treacherous, women can also be very treacherous. But, you know, Jewish culture was very patrilineal. So, I mean, in Jewish culture, a woman cannot even get up and say, I'm divorcing my husband. You know, the women were so powerless. So all the instruction was going to men. So he brings us to another scripture in 1 Peter chapter 3 from verse 5. I think verse 7. Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife. You see, he's talking to the husbands. So you understand why he's always talking to the husband. Today, I'm not talking to husbands alone. I'm talking to everybody. And I'll give you one scripture for that right now, so that all the men can be happy. Husbands, likewise, dwell with your wife with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, so that what? Your prayers may not be hindered. Now, what can a human being do when his prayers cannot be answered by God? Is that person going to live well? Is that person going to be a happy person? What can a Christian do whose prayer is not answered? The number one most important need of every Christian is for you to be able to live a life of answered prayer. Isn't that wonderful? Then anything you lack is not important, because you can just lift up your voice to God and say, Lord, I need this, and it comes. Then, but when you go to Hebrews 13 verse 4, I love that scripture because it didn't only talk to men or women, it talks to marriage. He said, marriage is honorable among all. That means both male and female. Marriage is honorable. It's an honorable thing. And the bed undefiled. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Now, the important thing I want to bring out here is that God is a judge. Look at it. God will what? Judge. The second thing I want you to see is that when the Bible talks about fornication and adultery, he's actually talking about betrayal of trust, because the highest form of betrayal in marriage, I think, is adultery. Do you agree? But I want to say that it is not only adultery that amounts to treachery. Yes, you can be here, you've never committed adultery before, but you are still a treacherous spouse. Because there are many things you are still doing that is highly great betrayal of trust. So it's not enough to say, I'm a good spouse because I don't commit adultery. No. Because Malachi 2:16 did not talk about adultery at all. It talked about treachery. And treachery has to do with the fact that you are not living a life that befits trust. So sometimes before you even accuse your spouse of adultery, maybe check yourself whether you are also not doing something right. I was preaching at church last Friday night, and I was saying that I am beginning to even think that, you see, this one you will debate it. This one, I know you will not agree with me, but I am beginning to think that the presence of adultery in any home is even speaking to the fact that the two people are making certain mistakes. If you ever catch your spouse committing adultery, there is something you are also not doing right that pushed him into it. I know some of you will not agree with me, but go and think about it. Because it doesn't matter what kind of womanizer you are. There are certain people, you can't marry them and commit adultery. When they grab you, you are grabbed. So instead of calling your spouse all the bad names and all the evil things, ask yourself, is there a way I can handle this woman or this man that adultery won't even cross his mind? Now, I'm saying this because after counseling for a long time, I have heard people confess, yes, Pastor, I did it, but these are my issues too. And you can see issues all the time. Because you marry somebody and you think, once you say, I do here, you are okay. There are people who marry, Christians especially, after the wedding, they don't have any sense of responsibility again. They won't do anything right again. They don't care about the spouse. Because after all, they know that the Bible said you should not divorce. And pastor will rebuke you if you talk about divorce. You know, but Christians are still divorcing every day. Because the thing is that you cannot take somebody for granted and expect the person to live with you for life. It scarcely happens to normal people. Genesis 2:25. I'm closing Genesis 2:25. And the two were both naked. One person was not naked. The other one was covering himself. Because some homes, that's what is happening. Either the two are both covering themselves. Everybody has his secrets. Or one person is naked, the other person is covered. But he said the two were both naked. The man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. I will continue next Sunday. I pray that God will help us to build strong marriages, strong homes that glorifies God. Because marriage is about the next generation. It's not even about you. Father, help us. We need your help. We cannot do this without you. Help us to build strong marriages, full of understanding and love and care and unity. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hope you've been blessed by today's message. You can contact Reverend Hubert on 030-340-7970 or 024-33-11201. Remain blessed.